listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right. Hour three. The tag up has taken place. Curly hair. Glasses are they on? I can't see them.
No glasses.
No glasses today.
Are we running the 4x1 or the 4x4? Because y'all done passed the baton.
Which leg? Third leg.
I dropped the baton.
Because you have
He dropped the baton because he didn't have his glasses. He couldn't see.
The voice that you are listening to in your ear right now, that is Iowa Sam. He is tapped in for Mr. Perfect. He's going to go get some much-needed rest. And the other voice that you heard, well, you all know it. You love it. It's TJ Hushmanzada. And we got our boy Nick back there producing the show, along with Ilo, who we were just off the rails with. Welcome into the show. It's Fox Sports Sunday. Mike Harmon is taking the day off, handling some things with the family. It's the Olympics. He's got a kid that is really good enough to make a push for it, so he's supporting that. I support it, and we wish you luck. Do your thing.
What TJ, does his son do?
Daughter. What soccer.
She's a stud.
She be kicking it. Oh, yeah, she does the thing. We've had a great first 2 hours. If you missed anything, make sure you go check out the podcast. You can go back and listen to some of the things that we've discussed. We started off the show talking about Simone Biles. There were reactions to her withdrawal. And was it quitting, or was the reasoning legit? We talked also about Sha'Carri Richardson and her tweets post a Jamaican sweep 1, 2, and 3 in the 100 meters. We also had an interesting discussion about, well, Trevor Lawrence and Tim Tebow. There's a whole lot of things that you can check out that were on the show in the first 2 hours. But we're right now in the present. We're here in hour three, and we are going to stay football, TJ. And let's go into the Big D, even though they're in the big California in Oxnard. We had a situation take place this week. Dak Prescott had a little bit of soreness, issue in his shoulder, throwing arm side, went into the locker room, did not return to practice. Coach McCarthy comes out. They're going to workload him. They referenced it as a fatigue injury, and so he will take a few days off. Coach really didn't know how many days to say. It was a few. It was a couple. It was several. It was just a few different things that he used, but clearly was not willing to give a defined timeline on his return. What should we be thinking? How are you looking at this? Is this much or nothing, looking at this injury to Dak Prescott? Or should there be concern surrounding this injury? Is this a setback to Dak Prescott's return and for the Dallas Cowboys in general moving into this season?
No, it's not. It's not a setback. It's early. It's early. It's a minor muscle injury, but this happens often when you are coming back from a major injury. You tend to focus on just that injury. Let's get this right. Let me fix this. Let me fix that. With that major injury. And you tend to neglect other things. Him being a quarterback, you would think his shoulders in that area is of importance to him. But they just kind of get overlooked because he's worried about the main injury that he had surgery on. I don't believe it's a big deal. It's early. And Mike McCarthy, you can't put amount of days on it. It should be, oh, whenever Dak feels good, he'll be back out there.
How many games do you feel he should play, knowing what the injury situation was and now a new one arises after he's back from the one that ended his season last year? What gives you, from your experience, what gives you confidence that Dak can do what he needs to do in terms of amounts of reps to get ready for this season, season?
You give Dak probably 20 to 35 snaps. Half of those are run plays.
Okay.
90% of the pass plays will be quick games so we can get it out of his hands. I don't want him getting hit. But you be conservative. You be smart.
Does he play? Does he do the regular third preseason game? Go to mid first series
position
in the third
of the second half.
Yeah, first series of third quarter.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't. Why? You see what a lot of teams are doing. They're not even playing their guys.
Joe Burrow isn't even playing in the preseason.
There's no point in it, man. It's training camp was designed to get guys in shape. 99% of the guys go to training camp in shape. Me and Marvin Lewis used to always get into it about this. I'm like, Marvin, I come to training camp with a full tank of gas. I leave training camp, I'm at three quarters tank full of gas. I'm never getting back to a full tank. Why is that?
That's a great point.
And so training camp is just to get over the fine details, make sure we understand what we're doing. But from a physical standpoint, I'm primed and ready to go. Training camp takes it out of you, and I think they understand that now.
Training camps have always been geared towards giving you the opportunity to stay away from your family if you're a coach. I mean, let's just be clear on that, right? Like, all the stuff that you get done at training camp, you could get it done from home. Come in, do your job, go home. But you go to training camp because, well, quite frankly, a lot of these dudes just don't like being at home. They don't want to deal with having to do home chores.
I had a coach tell me, if I don't like my wife, become an NFL coach.
Yeah, because you get to stay.
He told me that.
You got an excuse.
If you don't want to go home and you don't like your wife, become an NFL coach. And I said, wow.
Because it's all geared towards I don't like using the word good old boys because I think it's stupid. But I do like using the homies.
Now, I'm not saying all coaches don't like their wives, but I'm just saying.
But they don't like being – it's not even that they don't like their wives in some cases, but some cases it is they don't like their wives. But in other cases, it's just I don't want to be at home. Like, I got to be on the move. I don't want to be sitting at home. I don't want to be vacuuming floors and mowing lawns.
Meetings and you seeing air mattresses in the coach's office.
They be sleeping under their desk.
Go home. Like there's
only so much you can
do. Somebody needs to change the narrative of these coaches think they got to get in at 5 and out at midnight at the earliest. Like they got to change that. Like they literally are watching tape.
And that's it.
But
you're taking notes on watching tape.
But when they're watching the tape, LeVar, after you watch tape longer than an hour, hour and a half, the tape's watching you. You actually forget what you just watched because you can't stay focused
after
a practice, meeting with your players, getting the game plan together for tomorrow. Oh, then let me watch. Like, it's just so much. Somebody needs to. Man, we're going to get out of here at 8, 9 o'clock at the latest. I'm going to see my kids to bed. I'm going to spend some time with my wife. And I'm doing this every day.
Right.
Every day.
And the players should be able to do that as well. I mean, let's be honest. Like, you're right. The first part is to get yourselves in shape, get acclimated to playing in the season, getting ready for the season. Most guys aren't ready to play until after maybe the first game or second game of regular season anyway, because you cannot simulate the speed and the intensity of a real game rep.
Man,
that's first and foremost. Right?
The way you approach that first game, that first drive, you like,
oof.
Man, I'm in terrible shape.
Oof.
I'm not in shape at all.
Oof.
Just because the intensity and the adrenaline that builds up in your body.
It's
that first
different.
Drive, you like go more. If you go 3 and out, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a few first downs,
oh my gosh.
Oh man, you feel like you're about to pass out. You're so tired.
You are visiting hell on earth when you get them extended drives, bro.
Yeah.
So and then there's the second reason. You want to see who the rest of your squad is going to be. It's so interesting when you generally never have newcomers or, you know, unrestricted free agents, whatever it may be, signings. You generally don't see them unseat somebody who's on the depth chart and where they're at on the depth chart. You generally can see the competition between somebody who is on the depth chart and has been on the depth chart. Maybe a second string guy can compete with a first string guy, but you only see competition in so many different areas. So that's like an overstated, overblown thing about training camp. However, you are trying to figure out what your roster is going to look like.
53-man roster.
What's your practice squad
They're going into training camp with a 53-man roster. They're going into camp already knowing who 49 and 50 are. It's the last 3 to 4 spots that are up for grabs in a practice squad.
Unless an injury happens.
Now
you got to deal with the unexpected of how injuries take place and all those different things that kind of play a part in it. So where we stand right now, for me, on the Dak Prescott situation, I think that right now I agree with you. There is no need for concern. But I will say this. We just got done talking about the mental aspects of how these things play a part in injuries and how much lasting impacts and effects it can have on players and moving forward. If he's not going to be playing and he's not going to be taking a lot of reps, I mean, just after our conversation about Simone Biles and even the idea of Shakari Richardson, you know, one of the things that kind of gets lost in the conversation about her is if there were ever a moment where you could sit there and be like, I disagree with her breaking the rule. She has to deal with the consequences of breaking the rules. But, man, she did lose her mom. Like, I understand that, you know, we shouldn't make excuses. People shouldn't make excuses. I get that. You made the decision. You live with
and
the decision.
And she has a brother that she didn't grow up with him. He was facing a murder charge.
She was dealing with some intense emotions.
Oh, you're talking Shakari. Okay, yeah, I'm talking Simone Biles.
Either way, right? Either way, they were dealing with some really, really intense emotional, mental duress and alterings of the health of how they feel. These things need to start being a major priority of conversation. Why is it that these conversations and the treatment of these athletes is not as intense and purpose-driven as much as the physical aspects of these injuries that these players are recovering
from?
Dude,
it's crazy. We've been talking about this for years, man.
Yeah.
I've said this for so long. Nobody ever works on the mental, but they swear the game. We've been saying this forever, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we've been saying this forever, since we've known each other.
Yeah. All right.
Like, and now they woke. We've been woke.
Here's what we're going to do. I stay away from woke, but I am woke on that topic, man. I stay away from woke. Hey, listen, 877-996-6369. That is the call-in line. We want to hear your opinion. We want to hear your thoughts on this. Obviously, Dallas is a big hot-button topic. Are they pushing as a contender? Can they be a contender this year? And how much of a concern does this play and what Dallas is planning on doing? Is it a thing, if anything, or not? I say it's not. TJ says it's not a thing yet. But where will this Dallas team end up? Let's have the conversation. You're listening to Fox Sports Sunday. I'm LeVar Arrington. That's TJ Houshmandzadeh. This is Fox Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Welcome back into the show. We busting now. Fox Sports Sunday. You know what it is. All right. We're talking Dak Prescott and the Big D.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, the Dallas Cowboys. They're out in Oxnard, and apparently they're having a really good camp. This rookie linebacker that they got out of Penn State, he's wearing 11. And
never heard of him.
You know, but you will. From what I've heard, he's going to steal the show on Hard Knocks and is just a blossoming young star. So I heard his name is – what is his name again? Somebody can – what's his name? Who has his name? You guys' name? Yeah, did you say that on air? Go on air.
Micah Parsons.
Oh!
Never heard of him.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well – we're going to have to look that name up and see what this Micah Parsons is all about. But before we do that, let's go out to the phone lines and let's have this conversation. Is this a setback for Dak? How are we looking at it? Let's go to Bruce. Let's start with Bruce in Kansas. Bruce, what you got, my friend?
Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up? I really appreciate you guys' show.
Oh, appreciate
great
it.
Job.
Thank you.
On that, about the linebacker coming out of Penn State right off the bat, he's got some big, big shoes to fill.
Well, he's got some big feet.
Coming there from you,
yeah.
Behind you, man.
Yeah.
That's
he's a pretty good dude.
On Dak, you know, maybe there's something they see or think maybe he may not be ready to play in this game coming up Thursday night, that they might want to set him aside and find out maybe he's not as ready to go as they thought.
Well, that could be it. We appreciate the call, Bruce. That, you know, that the one of the worst things that can happen when you're a player and when you're an organization is you have the realization that a guy isn't where he needs to be health-wise, and how do you handle it? If we're looking at this timeline and we're taking a good hard look, TJ, at what has happened, I mean, they just gave him the bag. They just pulled the Brinks truck up. They backed it in. They dumped the money out on the driveway. It hit the lawn. It was enough. It went into the house, into the garage. There was a whole lot of Skrilla that was coming up out of that Brinks truck. And then to get to this point, it just seemed a little, I'm saying it's not a thing, and I believe it's not a thing, but then you also got to take a look at, he ran off the field. The way they described it, he did it, he ran off the field immediately and ran into the training room. Now, they're saying it's nothing, it's a fatigue injury, but you and I both know, TJ, if you get an injury that's not a big deal, you just go to the side. They handle it, da-da-da, take your stuff off, put an ice pack on it, watch the rest of practice, smiles, laughs, all kinds of giggles, whatever, joking and hooting and hollering. The fact that he ran off the field and into wherever he ran into, that was kind of an immediate red flag for me when I heard, you know, the report and the account that was given on how it took place. Now, I don't know. Am I reading too far into that?
You got to understand, he's coming off this injury. So he feels anything. You know, that heart rate goes up. You get a little nervousness, that pit in your stomach type of thing. He probably just overreacted because he was nervous.
But it wasn't his leg. It was his throwing arm.
Right. Exactly.
But see, to me,
you feel anything in your throwing arm and you're like,
all right, but say,
oh,
but let
my
me
God,
let me put it
come
to
on.
You. Let me put it to you this way. If we were having a inner squad practice and you're on the opposite team and you're standing there and you saw Dak throw the ball and then run immediately off the field,
I would
and
think something was really wrong.
Okay.
I would think like, oh my God, what has happened? But then you see him out there the next day. He's still practicing. He's just not throwing the ball. He's taking snaps. He's running with the team. So when you see that, you're like, oh, okay, we good.
But are you?
Yeah. Yeah, when you come back from injury, you tend to just focus on that area. And hopefully this is a lesson to everyone. You rehab that injury, but you also got to keep the other parts of your body strong, limber, loose, and ready to go.
See, to me, I kind of take the opposite side of this. I think Dak is so eager to get back. I think he is so hungry to prove that he's the guy that fought for this contract. And in his rehab, not only did he rehab his legs a ton, but he was, you know, everybody talks about the whole TB12 method and how Tom Brady does. I don't know if you've ever seen Tom Brady do any of his practice workouts. I saw him do one at UCLA one time.
Yeah.
Blew me away. It blew me away. And it blew me away because of the amount of times he threw the ball, like a jump shooter.
Dude, when I was playing, I would work out with Tom. I'd work out with him, and I'll never forget this. We're at UCLA.
How many times does he throw the damn ball, bro?
Listen,
throws that ball.
It was me, him, Wes Welker, and Alex Guerrero. So I go first. Me and Brady do a two-minute drill down the field. He comes back with Wes. I go again. He comes back with Wes. That was supposed to be it. He didn't really like the way he was throwing the ball. So he's like, okay, we got to go again, both of you guys. So we did it.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, this is it. Like, this two-minute drill, like, we – it's really no rest.
Right.
He like, we're going to go a couple more. I'm like, no, we not.
Right.
Like
He just goes.
He just wanted to go.
He just goes.
And I'm like, Brady, like, you about to kill us. Like, we running these routes. And see, his conditioning is.
Throw the ball.
He would throw the ball.
But he would run and get set up.
He would sprint. So this is how we do the 2-minute drills. The quarterbacks, they throw it, they sprint to the sideline, sprint back to the middle of the field.
Uh-huh.
And wherever the ball is spotted at. So they're getting a little conditioning in as well.
Yeah. Yep.
But he wanted to do, initially it was, we're just going to go 2 each. It turned into 4 to 5, and he wanted to do more than that. And I'm like, Wes, Alex, like, what's up with this dude? Like, he wanted to just throw. And we had already run routes. The 2-minute drill, that was just like, okay, let's get in shape, get ready for camp type of thing. And he was with it. Let's go. But, he has Alex with him. He's working with him before we start. He's working with him when we finish. He's working with him before he goes to bed. He's working on him when he wakes up. That's constant of somebody making sure your body is right.
Mm-hmm.
He's investing in himself.
And the thing is I would assume Dak Prescott is doing. I would assume most quarterbacks that are taking the amount of pride into their performances that a Tom Brady is taking, or even a Dak Prescott or the Patrick Mahomes, I would assume that they are trying to figure out and mimic what it is that guys like Tom Brady are doing. And so to me, what I feel happens is
Tom Brady has somebody working for him that he's paying a good 6 figures to make sure that he can continue to play. It's a lot of money.
But you don't think
that
getting the return that Dak Prescott just got, you don't think he's doing the same exact thing? I think he might not be doing it exactly the same way, because obviously to know the method is to garner the success from it. But I bet you he's doing a lot of what Tom Brady does. I guarantee you that dude is going everywhere. Matter of fact, he put a football field in his yard. He's throwing the ball a lot. Like, he is throwing that ball a whole lot, because to hear them say it was a fatigue injury, that to me says to me he's doing something where he's trying to really, really get himself back into the mode of how he wants to throw the ball, how he wants the timing to look, how he wants it, you know, whatever the small mechanics of how you are torquing and how you're,
and don't
you know,
get me
whatever
wrong,
it may
like,
be.
Dak works with the guys from 3DQB. He was out here during the summer. Workouts were starting 7 in the morning out here. And so, they're not cheap. Mm-hmm. They're not cheap. 3D, they're not cheap. And so he was out here throwing. Didn't have his receivers out here, so some of my guys had to go catch.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's putting the work in. Like, these little injuries, they're going to happen when you've been out and off as long as he was. These are going to happen. Just try to manage them, prevent them early. If you feel anything, and see, that was a good thing. He felt it. He didn't push it, because that's our mentality. Oh, I'm good. I can fight through this. He didn't push it. He kind of said, oh, I feel something. They pulled him back.
But he ran off the field. See, that's the
that
one that
scare
bothers
you. But then when you hear the next day, or even that day, oh, it's not this little strain, you're like, oof, okay, he good.
Okay. I mean,
yeah.
Until that thing popped, like, oh, no, it was nothing. I felt a little strain in my Achilles tendon, like felt it, like twinge, like ow, like a little sore. Got up out of there, did my treatment. They're like, you're fine. All right. Like a month later, that bad boy ruptured.
Yeah, but you probably
fully
stopped
ruptured.
Treating it after about a week or so because you felt
cool. I'm going to say this. I didn't, just because I was still dealing with my knee issue.
Right. And so did you just see what you...
So I'm overcompensating.
100%.
Yeah. But I did continue to treat it because I was afraid. I was trying to do preventative measures because I felt it pulling. Like, they have made me orthotics, all kinds of different things to try to take the pressure or because I'm very flat-footed. So they were trying to take the pressure off of my Achilles tendon and take it off of my knees. I did all kinds of different things. And anyway, you know, I don't wish that in for anybody, but it did. I wasn't able to out-rehab the injury that caught up to me ultimately, which was fully rupturing my Achilles tendon. But I don't know. We'll continue to have the conversation. Obviously, that will define itself. There is the Hall of Fame, the matter of the Hall of Fame game coming up very soon. Nobody really plays in that game, just so you guys know. I'm not trying to put the NFL on blast. Those are my peoples. But it certainly is a game where your starters play maybe one series and maybe two, if possible, just because. And then the rest of the time, it's just enjoying the festivities and celebrating the new inductees. And congratulations to all of them, by the way. We're going to stay in the Big D, and we're going to talk about, well, Coach McCarthy's new approach with his running back, Zeke Elliott. But before we go there, let's get to what's trending.
LeVar and TJ, this is going to sound like an insult, but it's actually a compliment. That last segment is exactly the kind of content that I want to hear from a couple of ex-jocks.
Oh, there you go.
Tell me
that's
something
what we are, jocks.
That I don't know as a civilian that I wouldn't already know. I don't necessarily need to hear your analysis of the Czech Republic's chances of gold medaling in men's basketball.
Well, because you're going to tell us.
No, I'm not.
Oh. Okay, we already did off the rails.
Exactly.
Right. I got what you're saying.
But okay. I mean, I enjoyed that segment. I enjoyed the opening segment about mental health because you're telling me something, and more importantly, the audience something that only people with your experiences would know.
What do you
of
mean, you people,
did.
Ilo?
Ex-jocks.
Oh, okay.
That's
all
why
right.
I said it's
okay.
going to sound like an insult, but it's actually a compliment.
Oh, that.
Okay. We'll take it.
Something I say to my wife all the time.
Okay.
Varying degrees of
you
success.
You people. You married people.
Guys, at the Olympics in Tokyo on Sunday night, Lamont Marcel Jacobs of Italy won the gold medal in the men's 100-meter final. His time, 9.80 seconds. He won it by 0.04 of a second.
That's moving.
Oh, yeah. I'll say it. Yes. Not Usain Bolt moving, but it's still moving. He won it over American Fred Curley, but Curley gets the silver medal. Earlier on Sunday, American Xander Schauffele.
Can you imagine, Ilo,
no,
how cool your name is, like the selection of your name at birth or whatever for your last name to end up being Bolt and you being that fast?
It almost seems preordained.
Unreal, right?
Yeah. I mean, what other people in sports have names that wound up exactly like that?
I mean, those people.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
I mean, is LeVar Arrington a linebacker kind
right?
of name?
LB, right?
Oh,
with the initials LA, and then I end up talking radio in what place? L.A. L.A. and L.A. How about it? It was preordained, bro.
I'll say, yeah. Isaac Lohenkron, not exactly a classic broadcast.
But
yeah,
Ilo's
exactly.
pretty dope, though.
There
I
got
to be honest with you. Ilo is a pretty dope handle, man.
Yeah.
Close
just
got to
make it work for you.
Brackets are set, guys, for the quarterfinal round in men's basketball. Team USA going to play Spain on Tuesday. If they win, they will meet either Australia or yes. They played them for the gold in 2008, the famous game between the Redeem team, if you will, and Spain at that time, led by Pau Gasol. Crazy story, as we've been talking about in the NHL this morning. San Jose Sharks forward Evander Kane denying allegations of game fixing by his estranged wife, who claimed in a social media post yesterday that he bet on games against his own team. The NHL announcing last night it intends to conduct a full investigation into the allegations. And finally, guys, a couple of new details for you. We told you last hour that the owners of the Buffalo Bills and the NHL's Buffalo Sabres seeking a new brand new stadium for the Bills to be built in Orchard Park, as well as renovations to the Sabres Arena, which is in downtown Buffalo. The Buffalo News reporting that the owners initially asking for the $1.5 billion project to be funded entirely by public funds. Now, the paper also reporting New York State officials consider the idea a non-starter, and the Buffalo News adding that the Bills have made no overt threats to leave Buffalo, but have made it clear to government negotiators that there are, quote, other cities elsewhere that desire an NFL franchise.
Okay, well, we'll see you then.
And would pay handsomely for it,
yeah,
unquote.
They would.
Let them make you believe that.
Somebody going to do it.
Man, ain't nobody.
Somebody going to do it.
Ain't going to be San Diego, I'll tell you that.
Taxpayer funded stadium.
It can happen in San Diego.
It's going to be somebody.
What about Toronto?
I mean, he's already got ties over the bridge, you know, right across the water. They better get that money.
Man, please.
Art Modell, he showed you what happens if you don't give up the money.
But it's a different economy these days, I'm just saying.
Well, then when he decided to make this request with this different economy, they better put some different money up in this different economy so that the bills stay. That was just me talking. I mean, I'm biased. You know, I am biased.
Hey, man, they see what Kroenke is doing out here. They like, man, if we ain't paying for this stadium, you better put this money in. This don't benefit us. You're going to bring, what, some minimum wage jobs, man? Get out of here with that.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Speaking of that, Ilo, do you have anything else?
Man, I swear, what? They have more Olympic sports. I've never, like, what is this? What is that? What is that called?
It's field hockey.
It's men's field hockey, though, and I never knew that field hockey for men existed.
They bending over too much. They back going to be hurt. They need some longer sticks or whatever they use.
I know, right?
I had such an amazing comeback for that, but it was not appropriate for radio. Are you done with your update, Ilo? What? Are we done with Trendy? Because we got to get out of here because we were about to go off the rails for a consecutive time during this show.
I gracefully tossed it back to you. Apparently, okay. You didn't notice, but I am done. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ilo. That was such a great trending and update, and we appreciate you people doing the job that you do back there and giving us the greatest updates possibly ever that could happen in sports radio, all of sports radio, that is. Ilo! Yeah, Isaac Lohenkron. All right.
Isaac Lohenkron.
Yes, give it to me one more time.
Isaac Lohenkron.
All right, just one more time.
Isaac Lohenkron.
That's right. And now we're going to go to another guy that gets his name called quite a bit and have this conversation. Coach McCarthy did an interview this week, TJ, had the conversation about, you know what? I discovered something. I missed something, and you saw it. You got it. Go so, take it away.
I discovered this.
Okay.
That Discover matches all the cash back you can earn on your credit card at the end of your first year.
Okay.
It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
That is amazing. That was amazing.
It's fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it's so fantastic.
I was super proud of you there.
I'm excited.
I totally forgot about that read right there, and you totally just crushed it. Ezekiel Elliott, speaking of crushing it, he was crushing it earlier on in his career. Coach McCarthy gets in and basically says, listen, Ezekiel has had a heavy workload. He's carried the team for 5 years. No running back has had to do nearly as much as Ezekiel has done in terms of touches since 2016. So you take a look at guys like Derrick Henry emerging as 2,000-yard rushers, but there aren't very many guys that can carry the load that way and their body be able to handle the abuse that it's going to take week in and week out. He wants to lower his run carries, his total, his volume early on into the year and then assess it as the year goes on. And as the season goes on, he will come up with the strategy as to whether you up the workload or you keep it the same. But the reality of it is that there is a short shelf life for running backs. We know that. And it's very short for guys that, well, are considered to be the bell cow of the team and may not necessarily have the physical support that's needed and necessary for them to have longevity when talking about guys like a former Dallas Cowboy who obviously owns the rushing record, rushing title in Emmitt Smith. He was a guy that was able to stay healthy, was a guy that was able to take on the workload, but there was also a lot of balance with passing the ball. You had Mike Irving out there, you had Jay Novacek, other guys, et cetera, through the years, but you had an amazing offensive line. Now, seemingly this year, the Dallas Cowboys offensive line is healthier than it's been in a long time. They seem poised to have a good year. Same thing, no distractions seem to have messed up Ezekiel Elliott's offseason. I mean, he's come in at 218 pounds. They said he's motivated. They said he's moving very well. Great balance with his mind. Do you think that this is a good approach to Ezekiel Elliott's season this year? Or do you think that this is something that they have to establish Ezekiel Elliott for this upcoming season? And I don't want you to answer it. You know why? Because I want you to be able to answer this one with the proper amount of time and care that I know you're going to give it. We're going to let you guys also listen to this one and kind of mow over it for a moment or two. And then we're going to take a break and you'll get to hear what TJ thinks about Ezekiel Elliott's workload. Well, on the other side of this, you're listening to Fox Sports Sunday. That is TJ Hushmanzada. I'm LeVar Arrington, Mike Harmon with the day off. This is Fox Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Sometimes you just got to let it breathe. And when you throw Run DMC on, you just got to let it breathe. Now, we do know and we do acknowledge we do not own the rights to these songs. So therefore, when you subscribe and listen to our podcast, you will not understand why we're saying let Run DMC breathe when Run DMC is breathing. But just know, if you were listening to us on radio, Run DMC is rocking it right now, just so you know. And welcome back into the show. All right, it's Fox Sports Sunday with LeVar Arrington. TJ Hushmanzada is here. Mike Harmon is taking a blow, a breather, like Dak Prescott.
Oh!
Yeah, it's been an amazing show, and as I alluded to the podcast, make sure you go check the podcast out, subscribe, leave a comment, put some stars down. Hopefully you put as many stars on there as is possible to put on there. But TJ, going into the break, I asked, is this a good decision on Mike McCarthy's behalf to give this limited workload? You got Tony Pollard on the roster. You got all kinds of different weapons out there. CeeDee Lamb, you got Amari Cooper, you got what's my other guy's name?
Michael Gallup.
Gallup, there we go. We got Mike Gallup out there. You got tight ends. What do you feel is the right approach for Ezekiel Elliott? And if to that point, can Ezekiel Elliott be Ezekiel Elliott that we came to know early on in his career?
If that offensive line is opening up holes like they used to, of course. You know, Dallas Cowboys were very powerful offensively because of what they did up front.
That's their identity.
They had guys that can run block and pass protect. And it's rare that they do both. And so if the offensive line can stay healthy, they're going to be fine. And Ezekiel Elliott will also be fine. He lost weight. You know, he lost a step. He has had a ton of carries early in his career. And I believe that's why he lost weight, because he knows his body is taking a toll. But it's just, you look at the NFL in the running back position. Le'Veon Bell, 29 years old, out the league. Mm. Todd Gurley, 26 years old, out the league. Mm. Man, they not playing when it comes to the running back position, man. They are letting you know you are replaceable. And so can he carry the load? I think he can, but Mike McCarthy –
is coming out basically saying that's not
going to
be the case. Oh, if
it ain't going to be Todd Gurley though, so work that one out.
So then it would have to be Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah,
but you just look at it. They need that offensive line to be what they were, and if you can't be what they, just stay healthy. If you can stay healthy, then the Cowboys got a chance, and Ezekiel Elliott will bounce back.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the offensive line, everything is going to hinge off of what the offensive line is, and I think that the approach by Mike McCarthy is super brilliant. I think to protect Dak, to protect Ezekiel, who are your two highest paid assets on the team, but yet could be the biggest part of your success. I think that you got to gauge it and you got to measure it from a perspective where you're making sure that you're doing what's best for them as well as what's best for the team. But this has got to be a challenge ultimately that this offensive line takes under undertaking of sorts. That is the end of hour three, everyone. We are surging, powering into hour four. We're going to talk Jets. Yeah, the Jets. They got their guy. They got him signed. $35.1 million. It's kind of funny. I said 30, and our producer said 30, and we said it at the same exact time. What a beautiful thing. We're going to talk about, can they turn it around in New York City? We'll also touch on, well, what the Sixers got going on with Ben Simmons and what's the future there with that. You are listening to Fox Sports Sunday with LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada. We are coming back into this fourth hour, going strong. We'll be right on back.